Hello, this is Mary, and I will be reading selections from the Pantograph for Monday, July 13th, 2026. From the front page, Grow and Show. Glorious Garden Fest, Art Take Root in Great Setting, by D. Jack Alkery. Bloomington. Forrest Ingram, 6, was excited for the first ever botanical art show at the Glorious Garden Festival at the David Davis Mansion because there was a familiar painting displayed, Invasive, by Sam Ingram, his father. "I made it a while ago," the elder Ingram said, "but it was when I was getting to putting a lot of native plants in our yard and battling the Japanese beetles with some of those plants." Ingram's painting was one of some 50-plus pieces from local artists featured throughout the mansion, 1000 Monroe Drive in Bloomington. "This was the first year that the festival included a nature-themed art show," said Michelle Schultz, volunteer and this year's chairperson. "We wanted to do something special for our 30th year, and we wanted it to be garden-related. So we made a call for the botanical art pieces, all different pieces," she said. "So it's not just paintings, but they're all local artists that got involved." "The Twin Cities are a special place for artists," said Emma Ingram, Forrest's mother. She and her husband are both art teachers in the area. "As two art teachers, we love to see all the opportunities for students and local artists," she said. "I feel like Bloomington, especially, has really been pushing that a lot lately. The way they integrate arts into the community, I think, is an amazing opportunity for local artists, including our students." The annual festival, which ran Friday and Saturday, raises money for the David David Mansion Foundation. The state historic site, also known as Clover Lawn, was completed in 1872 as the home of David and Sarah Davis. The jurist was a Supreme Court justice, U.S. senator, and longtime friend and key political supporter of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond the art show, this year's two-day festival included 10 private gardens throughout Bloomington Normal, opened for visitors, self-guided tours of the mansion, and the historic Sarah Davis Garden, a story walk offered by the Bloomington Public Library, and a vendor fair on the mansion's lawn. "It's a great setting, especially when the music is going," said Sarah McManus, co-owner of the Garlic Press, a store in Uptown Normal. "People are in a great mood, and it doesn't matter if it's hot or raining." McManus said that plenty of people were interested in special birdhouses she had for sale that were made entirely out of felt. Some, like the Ingrams, have been to previous iterations of the festival, while others, like Mike and Becky Weiss and their grandkids, have just discovered it. "We knew the library had the walk, the story walk, and that's why we came," Becky Weiss said. "And we didn't realize all of this was going to be going on, so this is extra special for us." Their grandchildren, 4-year-old Kellen and 3-year-old twins, Wren and Kit, were visiting Bloomington from Minnesota, and the Garden Festival offered them a change of pace, Becky Weiss said. "It's something different for them to see that's not just toys," she said. "It was also a chance to connect with history," Mike Weiss said. "I think it's really special because this has really been here for so long," he said. "There's so many generations that get a chance to experience the David Davis Mansion, and now our grandkids get to do that as well." But the festival has a deeper purpose, said Adrian Huffman, director of public engagement for the mansion. "The reason we do this event is to honor Sarah Davis, who had this beautiful 150-year-old garden, and to encourage people to see other gorgeous gardens," she said, referring to the woman remembered for bringing the latest in Victorian style to Bloomington. "So it's got historical merit, but it's also important to us to get people interested in gardening." "That's motivation for volunteers like Schultz," she said, "when I see the young families and kids establishing that love of gardening at an early age." Growing up with earth-friendly families, the Ingrams are trying to instill an appreciation of nature for their young son as well. Emma Ingram said, though by Forrest's own admission, he rarely helps his father in the garden. I just usually play on my dad built me a giant, like, spidery web quarters made out of wood in the backyard, Forrest said. So it's like kind of like a treehouse, but it's not in a tree. And I have a swing set, and I usually play over there. There were several photos, of course, with this particular article, including a photo of Sarah McManus of the Garlic Press and her birdhouses made entirely of felt that were for sale during the Gardens Festival, probably still available at the shop. The Weiss kids posing for a photo at the Glorious Garden Festival. Visitors who are touring Sarah Davis's historic garden. And Sam Ingram, a local artist and art teacher, posing during the 30th annual Glorious Garden Festival at the David Davis Mansion. Also from the front page, Congress, Lindsey Graham, tough loss. Death of South Carolina senator robs president of reliable Senate vote. By Reuters. Washington, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican who went from a vocal critic of Donald Trump to one of his most loyal allies after Trump became president, has died, his office announced. He was 71. The South Carolina lawmaker died after a brief and sudden illness, his office posted on X. U.S. media said emergency personnel responded to a call for cardiac arrest Saturday night at his Capitol Hill home in Washington. The contest to succeed Graham will not impact the broader fight for control of the Senate in November between Republicans and Democrats, as South Carolina is a reliably Republican state. However, his death robs President Trump of a dependable Senate vote as the president seeks to push his agenda in the closely divided Senate. He's a tough one to lose, Trump told NBC's Meet the Press program. He was great. He was unique in every way. The D.C. Medical Examiner preliminarily ruled the cause of death as aortic dissection due to arteriosclerotic cardiovascular disease. That's when the inner lining of the body's main artery tears and blood leaks out, according to Mayo Clinic. Another senior Republican in the upper chamber, Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, remains hospitalized for health problems. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union program, Trump said Graham, who had just returned from a trip to Ukraine, called him on Saturday night. Other than being tired, he was fine, Trump said. The president said he received news of Graham's death early Sunday morning. Under South Carolina law, the state's Republican governor, Henry McMaster, can immediately appoint a temporary replacement to fill the seat. South Carolina Republicans must then hold an expedited primary election to pick a nominee for the November midterm election. That nominee does not have to be the same person McMaster picks as a temporary replacement. Graham, a defense hawk, was a prominent supporter of Israel and Ukraine and an opponent of Iran. He was scheduled to appear on Meet the Press on Sunday morning, the network said. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he was deeply saddened by the news, calling Graham a true defender of freedom and the values that make our world safer. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a statement, Israel has lost one of its greatest friends. America has lost a great patriot. I have lost a beloved friend. Netanyahu expects to attend Graham's funeral, a senior Israeli official said. On Friday, Graham met Zelensky in Kyiv, and the Ukrainian leader said they discussed Ukraine's air defense needs and a Russia sanctions bill. Graham said China could play a decisive role in pressuring Russia toward peace talks, helping end its war in Ukraine, said Zelensky. The road to ending this war, the road to peace, passes through Beijing more than it does through Washington, Kyiv, or Moscow, Graham told reporters while in Kyiv. China has an oversized influence. I would like them to use their influence for the good of the world. I don't believe President Putin is there yet, but it wouldn't take much to get him there. Graham recently served as chairman of the Senate Budget Committee and was a member of the Committee on Appropriations, the Judiciary Committee, and the Committee on Environment and Public Works. A former Air Force lawyer and member of the South Carolina Air National Guard, Graham was elected to the Senate in 2002. Before that, he was elected to the House of Representatives in 1994. He never married and lived in Seneca, South Carolina. Also from the front page, Data Centers Land Power Use Feared in Rural America by Lauren Cross, Investigate Midwest. Data center construction is shifting toward rural America. At the same time, rural residents report greater concern than urban and suburban Americans about what those projects can mean for their electricity costs and farmland use. That's according to a survey released by researchers at the University of Illinois and Purdue University. The survey of about 1,000 U.S. adults conducted in February found rural residents expressed the highest average concern, level of concern overall. Their greatest concern was rising electricity costs, followed by the use of agricultural land for data centers and overuse of water. Many unknowns remain about the full impacts associated with data centers and expansion, according to researchers. By 2030, the energy requirements for data centers are projected to more than double in Illinois and triple in Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, researchers added. According to a separate April analysis of mapping data by the Pew Research Center, a major shift is underway. Nearly 90% of all existing data centers are in urban areas, but 67% of planned facilities are slated for rural communities, and 39% are planned in counties without an existing data center. More than 1,500 data centers are in development nationwide. Virginia leads the way with 398 operating and 287 planned. Illinois is the top Midwest state with 139 operating and 123 planned, according to the April analysis. The nonpartisan think tank reported that the Midwest has 419 planned data centers and 655 existing ones, a 64% increase from its current total. The South leads the way, with more than 750 planned centers and 1,209 existing ones. The findings come as more data center proposals target rural communities, where local officials often have fewer resources to evaluate complex development agreements, U of I researchers pointed out. Large companies that operate AI-scale data centers can bring specialized lawyers, engineers, and financial analysts to structure these projects and decide on site locations. By contrast, many rural communities have limited decision-making capacity due to budget and staffing constraints. They often rely on volunteer mayors or part-time elected officials. Often, they are simply not equipped to make these informed decisions or to effectively negotiate with multi-billion-dollar companies that own data centers, researchers said. Turning to page 2, local news, today's Flick Fact. Question. Summer electric bills can sting, but how much does the average Kroger supermarket pay each month just to keep the lights on and the refrigerators cold? Answer. About $32,000 a month, roughly $1,066 every day, according to Kroger. How time flies. 100 years ago, July 13, 1926. A deal was closed by which William E. Klopp purchased the Colonel D.C. Smith building at 313 Main Street from Marion Smith Wallace, daughter of Colonel Smith, for $40,000. Mr. Klopp has occupied this building for 21 years, now under the firm name of the John Monroe Tailoring Company. 75 years ago, July 13th, 1951. Bloomington Normal Real Estate Board has agreed to try to sell $20,000 worth of lots at Lake Bloomington for the city. And to help sales, it's going to give one lot away. The lot will be apprised July 22nd at an outing at Davis Lodge at the lake. 50 years ago, July 13th, 1976, Bloomington City Council gave the go-ahead to begin planning widening and cleaning of Sugar Creek from near Ethel Parkway in Normal west to Linden Street. They also agreed to try to work with District 87 schools for a $135,000 improvement of the creek which runs through the Bloomington High School athletic area. 25 years ago, July 13, 2001. Three leaping wire horses and a bronze statue of Adlai Stevenson seated on a bench with his feet propped on a suitcase will greet travelers when they enter the Central Illinois Regional Airport Terminal. At the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority meeting, commissioners got their first look at some of the artwork that will adorn the building, slated to open October 1st. Barb Alsop, the Airport Authority liaison to the Art Committee, presented work from seven Illinois artists, including five from McLean County. Illinois House to investigate Representative Ammons. DOJ charged Urbana Democrat husband with wire fraud by Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. An Illinois House committee will investigate actions by Representative Carol Adams, Democrat Urbana, following her indictment on 10 federal charges last week. A group of 11 House Republicans filed a petition on Friday to create a special investigating committee, a sparingly used process laid out in House rules that can be initiated by any three members, regardless of party. The body by which rule has its members appointed by the legislative leaders is expected to explore Ammons' conduct and could ultimately lead to her expulsion from the General Assembly. But when it will get to work isn't immediately clear. The process was last used to probe then-House Speaker Michael Madigan in 2020. Now House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch chaired that event, which did not end in discipline, though Madigan was eventually convicted in court. Democratic leadership has said the courts should handle this, House Republican leader Tony McCombie said in a statement. The courts should absolutely do their job, but the Illinois House has a responsibility to do ours. Accountability in the legislature cannot be outsourced to the criminal justice system. Ammons, a state representative since 2015, was indicted on multiple felony charges Wednesday, including wire fraud, lying to an FBI agent, and obstructing justice. Her husband, Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons, was also charged with obstructing justice. Ammons' daughter, Titiana Ammons, was not charged in the scheme, despite prosecutors alleging she was a beneficiary of her mom's illegal actions. Titiana Ammons is facing federal unemployment fraud charges in a separate case, however. Prosecutors allege that starting in 2017, Ammons and her daughter received financial benefits in excess of $100,000 via a scheme including illegal payments from Friends of Carol Adams' campaign account and from payments made to Titiana Ammons from local nonprofits that received state grant funds arranged by the lawmaker. Ammons released a statement on Friday pledging to fight the charges, according to the News Gazette. She is set to be arraigned in court on July 16th. I want to be clear, I have done nothing wrong. I strongly disagree with the allegations outlined in this indictment, Ammons said. I have complete confidence that the facts will demonstrate my innocence, and I intend to vigorously defend myself through the judicial process. Because this matter is now before the courts, I will not litigate the facts through the media. I have great respect for our judicial system. I am confident the legal process will provide the appropriate forum for the truth to be established. Due to House rules, the petition that lists the specific charges the House will be tasked with probing will not be made public until the committee is established. Welsh named Representative Curtis Tarver, Democrat Chicago, chair of the committee, with Representative Jay Hoffman, Democrat Swansea, and Representative Lillian Jimenez, Democrat Chicago, joining him. All three are attorneys. The Special Investigating Committee is another process to ensure the House responds appropriately and within our purview, while ensuring nothing we do interferes with the ongoing federal case, Welch said in a statement. McCombie selected Representative Ryan Spain, Republican, to lead the Republican side of the committee. He will be joined by Representative Dan Ugast, Geneva, and Representative Adam Nyberg of Dietrich. Per rule, the committee will hold hearings and Ammons an opportunity to testify under oath. If at the end of the hearings at least four of the members vote to authorize charges against her, another 12-member bipartisan committee would be created to weigh any disciplinary action. If discipline is recommended, it would go to the full House for a vote. Most punishments would require a supermajority vote of 71 members, while it takes 79 votes to remove Ammons from the House. It's not clear when the initial investigating committee will first meet. The House rules don't outline any timeline for starting the process. Ammons has already been removed from the Democratic caucus and lost access to Speaker's office staff members. Fourth time in 15 years. The committee investigating Ammons will be the first since Republicans initiated the probe of Madigan in 2020, after he was named as Public Official A and accused in court documents of bribing utility Commonwealth Edison. Welch chaired that committee, which was formed within days of the Republican filed petition. But the process was prolonged, and the committee held just three meetings in 4 months, and it deadlocked on party lines, with Democrats voting against a motion that stated Madigan engaged in conduct unbecoming of a lawmaker. Madigan was later charged with 23 felonies and found guilty on 10 counts. He was sentenced to more than 7 years in prison. Welch said after the committee dissolved that he believed the courts were a better place to handle legal allegations. A special committee was also established in 2020 to investigate former Democratic Representative Luis Arroyo after he was charged in a bribery scheme. Welch signed the petition to create that committee, but Arroyo resigned before it could meet. He pleaded guilty and was sent to prison. Former Representative Derek Smith, Democrat Chicago, was the last lawmaker to be expelled from the House following a special investigating committee. He was kicked out of the legislature in 2012 after he was charged with bribery, although he was reelected to the House later that year. He eventually gave up his office when he was convicted in 2014. Turning to the sports news, Naskova captures first Wimbledon title. Linda Naskova captured her first career Grand Slam title on Wimbledon with a dramatic 6-2, 5-7, 6-3 win against fellow Czech Karolina Muchová. The ninth-seeded Naskova notched 10 aces and outlasted the 10th-seeded Muchová in 2 hours and 28 minutes. It was the first final between two players of the same nationality at the All England Club since Serena Williams defeated her sister Venus in 2009. At 21, Naskova is the youngest to win the grass court tournament since her idol and countrywoman Petra Kvitová claimed the first of her two titles in 2011. On the men's side, Jannik Sinner found another Wimbledon title waiting on the other side of disappointment in Paris. The world number one successfully defended his championship at Wimbledon on Sunday, rallying past Germany's Alexander Zverev 7-6, 6-7, 6-3, 6-4. Sinner's fifth Grand Slam title came in his first tournament since a second-round collapse at the French Open ended his 30-match winning streak. It marked the second straight year the Italian responded to a painful French Open exit by lifting the trophy in London. Last year, Sinner arrived at Wimbledon after letting three championship points slip away against Carlos Alcaraz of Spain in the French Open final. The victory extended Sinner's winning streak against Zverev to 10 matches and made him the 10th man in the Open era to successfully defend the Wimbledon singles title. Some sports television highlights include Major League Baseball, it's All-Star time, and the Home Run Derby will be shown exclusively on Netflix tonight at 7 p.m. The NBA Summer League continues with games on ESPN at 6 and 8 p.m. and ESPN2 at 3:30 and 10. And the WNBA has two games tonight on 6 p.m. at USA Network and at 8 p.m. on NBCSN and Peacock. Turning to national and world news, the Digest. 27 killed, 67 injured in Thailand pub fire, Bangkok. An explosive fire at a popular pub in Thailand's capital, Bangkok, killed 27 people in one of the deadliest such incidents in the tourism hub in recent years. Based on survivor accounts, the pub rapidly filled with smoke after a fire broke out, forcing many to run to the back of the venue near the bathrooms, but there were no fire escapes. Another 63 people injured in the incident have been hospitalized, more than 20 of those in critical conditions. 14 countries united against China claims. Tokyo. China's expansive maritime claims in the South China Sea have no legal basis. Japan, the Philippines, the United States, and 11 other countries said in a joint statement Sunday to mark the 10th anniversary of a landmark international tribunal ruling. The Philippines won the 2016 case at the Permanent Court of Arbitration that found China's sweeping claim of sovereignty in the South China Sea had no basis under international law, a decision that Beijing continuously rejects. We reaffirm that the award rendered 10 years ago by the arbitral tribunal is a significant milestone and is final, legally binding and definitive between China and the Philippines, the joint statement between the three countries, the 14 countries, said. Ukraine war. Ukraine struck 14 Russian vessels Sunday, including 10 tankers, its drone forces commander said. Four ferries were among the targets, adding that a total of 90 Russian vessels were hit in the past 7 days. Venezuela. The death toll from the two earthquakes that struck Venezuela on June 24th rose to 4,490. The official count of injured remains unchanged at 16,740, while 6,462 people have been rescued. South Korea. The body of a South Korean Navy seaman who went missing at sea over the weekend aboard a vessel near the maritime border with North Korea has been found, South Korean media reported Monday, citing the military. China. Typhoon Bavi, the most powerful storm to strike mainland China this year, brought heavy rain to the eastern coast and lashed densely populated cities with violent winds, testing the country's ability to cope with extreme weather. Iraqi Prime Minister to visit Washington today. Iraqi Prime Minister Ali al-Zadi will visit Washington today to deepen strategic ties with the United States, with oil and gas deals expected to be signed. We'll return with the second half of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned after this short break.